A study found that in Canada, Jewish groups more often condemn violence against Muslims than Muslim groups do against Jews.
Ex-NDP MLA Gwen O'Mahony switches to BC Conservatives for the upcoming election, citing shifts in NDP policies that she says have abandoned the party's original principles.
Ford Canada recently announced layoffs and has delayed the launch of its Oakville electric vehicle plant to 2027 after getting a $590 million government subsidy. Hello Canada, it's Monday, April 8th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jirja.
And I'm Isaac Lamoureux.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. Jewish organizations in Canada are far more likely to condemn tragedies and attacks against the Muslim community than Muslim organizations are to condemn attacks on Jews. This finding comes from a recently released analysis from the Aristotle Foundation for Public Policy, which examined how the leading Muslim and Jewish organizations in Canada reacted to major acts of religiously motivated violence against one another's communities. The research report's author Rahim Mohammed took 10 Jewish Canadian organizations and looked at if they had condemned 2017's Quebec City shooting and 2021's London, Ontario attack. The report found that Jewish organizations had by and large condemned the attacks, with 9 of the 10 condemning the Quebec City shooting and 6 of the 10 condemning the London attack. The only organization that had not condemned any of the attacks is Chabad Lubavitch. On the other hand, 10 leading Muslim organizations were analyzed to see whether or not they had condemned the October 7th attack against Israeli civilians and condemned Hamas. Of the 10 organizations studied, 8 of them stayed silent and refused to condemn the October 7th attack. Looking at these numbers, Isaac, it does seem very one-sided. You would expect that certain faith communities would respond and have sympathy for other faith communities, but this simply isn't the case. Do these two religious groups have any room for common ground anymore?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Cosmin. Interestingly, True North conducted a similar study of its own in November, where True North contacted half a dozen Muslim groups with a presence in Canada and asked them what their stance was on Hamas and its incursion into Israel territory. The only organization to respond to True North's request was the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow. The council's president, Raheel Raza, told True North that her organization had not shied from calling Hamas a terror group, unlike others. October 7 brought about with it multidimensional tragedies against innocent civilians in Israel, including murder, rape, and destruction that is unimaginable, she said. True North also contacted the National Council of Canadian Muslims, the Canadian Council of Muslim Women, the Muslim Association of Canada, the Islamic Society of North America, and the Muslim Student Association and asked whether they would condemn Hamas and its attacks on October 7th, but received no response from any of them. Cosmin, and to me this seems like an easy task, but why are some organizations hesitant to condemn a terrorist group's actions?
Well, I think a lot of them simply have a victim complex. I know that might be a little controversial to say, but they also see Hamas and similar organizations in a sympathetic light. At least some elements within these organizations do have supporters of Hamas, whether implicit or explicit. And they view groups like Hamas as, you know, freedom fighters, this trope that's been applied to certain groups that carry out terrorist activities in the Middle East in the name of Islam. And it's troubling because on the one hand, they're so quick to jump to conclusions and accuse Israel and the Israeli Defense Force of all sorts of crimes, but they're not willing to admit the horrific actions that have been taken in the name of Islam, quite frankly.
Former NDP MLA Gwen O'Mahony will be running under the BC Conservative Party's banner in the next provincial election this year. She served as an NDP MLA for Chilliwack Hope from 2012 to 2013 after winning a by-election and will now represent Nanaimo-Lansville as the Conservative candidate in the riding. In a video posted on X by the Conservative Party of BC, O'Mahony announced why she no longer supports the provincial NDP government of British Columbia. She said the NDP has changed, not her. O'Mahony spoke to True North over the phone to discuss her exodus from the NDP. "I am still the same person," O'Mahony said. "I'm the same Gwen with the same values. The left left me." O'Mahony was originally drawn to the NDP because she had a traditional working-class family who always supported the party. "My family and I saw the NDP as the people who are champions for us, the working class, concerned about affordability and universal health care." But she no longer sees it that way. She believes the BC NDP has demonstrated that it no longer prioritizes the working class. She said she believes in the BC Conservatives now because with them, she can fight for issues that matter to her, such as safety, affordability, healthcare, and personal freedom. Cosman, the BC Conservatives have momentum. They are catching up to the NDP and are likely to become the official opposition in the province come this year's next election. Should the NDP be worried?
Well, for sure, because there's growing popularity, I think largely driven by the federal conservatives, for conservative parties in British Columbia. A lot more British Columbians are willing to vote for a conservative alternative because they see things simply not working and not getting any better, especially under the NDP government here. And if you just look at the recent polls, there was a poll by the Angus Reid Institute that came out earlier this month that showed the BC Conservatives at the top spot in the province. And they were polling at 40%, while the NDP took second place at 29%. And that's crazy, because if you know anything about the BC Conservatives, they literally had no significant presence a few years prior. But there was a shift within the party. It reformed, and now it's waging a competitive election against the NDP government. And they had nobody in power before. There was no elected officials. Now they have two elected officials in legislature, and they're going to likely elect more people in the upcoming election this year. Ford Motor Company says it's delaying the beginning of electric vehicle production at its new plant in Oakville, Ontario by 2 years. Taxpayers have committed $590 million to Ford in the form of a subsidy partnership between the federal and provincial governments. Now, Ford has said the plan will go into operation in 2027, not next year as originally proposed. The company says it will take longer than expected to overhaul the Oakville assembly plant into an electric vehicle and battery assembly operation. Work will start this year, but the equipment required to assemble the EVs won't be completed for another 3 years. According to Ford spokesperson Saeed Deep, that means some workers will get laid off. "We are committed to taking care of our valued Oakville employees through this transition," said Ford Canada CEO Bev Goodman. "While this change requires a revision to the timeline, it will support a viable and growing future for our company, employees, and dealers." When the corporate bailout scheme was first proposed, the hefty price tag of the subsidies received heavy criticisms. Groups like the Canadian Taxpayers Federation slammed the company, saying that Ford has enough money to cover the cost of the plant itself. When announcing the funding in 2020, Trudeau claimed that the subsidies would create many good middle-class jobs. Isaac, when politicians propose these sorts of ideas, these sorts of subsidies where corporations get millions and millions of taxpayers' dollars, can Canadians really trust the outcomes? Is this just another case of corporate bailouts failing to produce any results?
Yeah, Cosman, look, no matter how much money the government throws at EVs, the simple facts are Canadians don't trust them, don't want them, and EVs simply do not work well in the cold, which most of Canada is throughout the majority of the year. car manufacturers don't even want to waste their time trying to sell EVs, even when money is given to them, because they know people don't want to buy them. True North previously reported that 66% of Canadians were either very or somewhat unlikely to consider an electric vehicle for their next purchase. The number of Canadians who were considering an EV had decreased from 47 to 34%, largely due to electric vehicles encountering 79% more problems than internal combustion engine vehicles. Interestingly, I saw that this interest varied greatly by province, where 22% of those in the prairies considered buying an EV, compared to 26% of Maritimers, 34% of Ontarians, 39% of Quebecers, and 46% of British Columbians. But the main considerations behind EV hesitation were 63% citing concerns with range, 59% with price, and 55% noted a lack of charging stations. And the range is no small matter. True North previously reported that temperatures below only negative 6.7 degrees Celsius can cut an EV battery's capacity by up to 41%. That's probably why in the United States, 61% of consumers were either very or somewhat likely to buy an EV, because, of course, they can work better in warm weather. But outside of operating as a summer car, which, by the way, True North has also reported on the issues with EVs during extreme heat, EVs don't seem very practical. The average price of an electric vehicle is $73,000. And True North previously reported an Ontario man's EV battery replacement cost him $50,000. Maybe the cost of living crisis will be dialed back by 2027 and Canadians might be able to consider the costly price tag of an EV. But I'd recommend having a second car for any warm or cold days, because having your car break down during an extreme climate scenario is not a safe situation that anyone should be in. Also, just to mention, without everyone driving EVs, Alberta's power grid was in a warning just last weekend. And it was snowing pretty bad, but it wasn't that cold, so.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.